Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening, everybody. It's Caden Patterson, Midwest Muscle P4P Real Talk. Lend me your ear. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Now, this man, he's a gem in so many ways. And the first time I actually met him was kind of one of those bodybuilding type stories where you have the venue, you have the host hotel, and you have everybody coming down for breakfast. Now, I wasn't a competitor. I was just someone basically that was watching the show, and it was the Heart of America. We were in Peoria, Illinois, basically Washington, Illinois, a little outskirt of Peoria. And I was down for breakfast, and there was a man that was eating, well, going to eat some food, and I was just helping, you know, somebody that was, you know, trying to get to his food, and I was trying to get out of his way, and it just so turned out to be Andrew Boss Dento. And he and I struck up a conversation, and we talked about different things, and then he started to explain who he was. And when things were going fine, we had a great time about, you know, how everything was, and he was letting me know everything about the show and how everything just was so well, and how, you know, just natural bodybuilding was something really neat and nice. And
Andy Bostento.
Hey, Andy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. We had a little glitch. I apologize. We are actually live right now. I hope my introduction was nice since you didn't get to hear it. Just for the natural community that doesn't know you, just introduce yourself and give us a little background of who you are.
Okay, I'll give you a little background and a little background about bodybuilding.
Yes,
all right.
Please.
I can do that. When do you want me to start?
Right now. You can start right now.
Okay. My name is Andrew Bostento. I'm president of the National Gym Association, which was founded in 1979. And we are now into the natural bodybuilding contests around the country. We have now 91 shows combining amateurs and pro shows. What we believe in is one thing. To join our organization is simple. It's not like politics. If you believe in, you don't need drugs to be an athlete, then you're part of us. Any of your other philosophies don't have nothing to do with the fact that we believe in one thing. You don't need drugs to be an athlete. That's simple. It took us 35 years. In fact, Arnold in 1980 said to me, Andy, you're wasting your time. You'll never get rid of drugs and you'll never make money. And I said to him, and I remember it, if it was to make money, do you think I would be doing what I'm doing? I made good money training well-known celebrities, so I did well. And when I started the organization, we were building it up. And when you say sometimes that people should get together, it doesn't seem to work. You can't even get your government together with Democrats and Republicans, independents. You can't get people who say, you know, I run three shows. what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to be president of an organization, my organization, and they establish an organization. And before you know it, ego gets involved rather than about the sport. I started my first show, believe it or not, way before 79. I opened my gym in 1963. It was the Olympia Gym and Health Club in Queens, New York, Ridgewood, New York. And in the gym there, it was a regular bodybuilding gym. There were only five gyms around. We were well known.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold trained my gym, Lou Ferrigno. And we had all bodybuilders from all over the country used to come to my gym and train. When we first started in 63, I opened up my gym. We had a lot of bodybuilders, young guys, you know, 16, 17, 18, 20 years old. We said, why don't we run bodybuilding shows in our gym? So we started to run bodybuilding in our gym. And to have more room in our gym, we went down the basement. And me and my partner, Al Fires, we dug out the basement. It took us a long while to dig out a basement because we had some who were tall. So for them to do standing presses, we dug out a pit. That goes to show you how crude we were. But meanwhile, we ran our first show. It was called the Olympia. And mm-hmm. the name of the club was the Olympia Gym and Health Club. I tried to get the word Apollon, but I couldn't get Apollon or Olympian. I couldn't get that either. So we call it Olympia Gym.
Okay.
Anyway, that's when it all started. It started, and all my friends are in the gym business. And in the gym business, what do you got? You got all the bodybuilders. Right?
Yes.
So we're all
friends
and we get together. And in about 1977-78, there was an organization. I'm not going to mention organization. If the shoe fits, they can wear it all because I'm not here for controversy. I'm just giving you a little
mm-hmm.
background.
They
were very well known. And they were very well known. In fact, all your top bodybuilders used to go in their shows, and that was in the East. And then the West was naturally Dan Lurie was in the East, and then you got Joe Weider, who was in the West. Anyway, it all started that running the shows, all of a sudden, the people sometimes who are in charge, they control everything, which is, one way it's good, one way it's bad, because it's bad if you don't follow what you should be doing to do it the right way. And
mm-hmm.
in the they would have weddings and things like that. What has that got to do with bodybuilding? And then another thing is, if somebody was tall, he put him in a short class and all that. So I got together with all my buddies. We judged a lot of shows at that time. I said, this can't go on. Why don't we speak to him and tell him this. We'll take over all the shows. We'll give you credit as the founder of that particular organization, and we'll run the shows for you, and you have all the credit. We just wanted to do right things. It wasn't about money. Well, anyway,
mm-hmm.
lo and behold, we had a meeting. He said, oh, we can't do that. And I said, well, you can't continue having shows like this where one of the athlete's father says, I'm going to shoot all you judges because you guys are all political. You're not doing the right thing. My son, whatever. And then I said,
mm-hmm.
but hey, I don't need this. We got to do the right thing. Let me tell you something. You got to do the right thing. I says, look, we make the offer to him. If not,
mm-hmm.
together, we'll form our own organization. Oh, Andy, that's a lot of work. And I said, no, we can do it. I said, we got all the gym owners in Jersey and Easton, Brooklyn, Queens, whatever. It was a lot of people. And I said,
mm-hmm.
we can do it. And we started meetings at Lenny's Clam Bar. And then we formed the National Gym Association. And then about that time, 79, then NPC came in. Well, all the shows, well, let me go back. Years ago, it was all AAU. AAU
mm-hmm.
goes way back to the first Mr. Americas, back in when Burt Goodrich won the Mr. America, I think it was in 39. And then it was John Grimmick, who was very well known. He worked for Strength and Health magazine, which was Bob Hoffman, who was noted for weightlifters. All weightlifters were in his organization and worked for him. And he won the Mr. 1940 and 41. Anyway, and it started to progress having shows under the AAU. But I remember one time you had to have Olympic qualities too, and they gave you points for it if you were in a show. That's another thing, because Bob Hoffman, he was strictly for bodybuilding, for weightlifting, and not for bodybuilding. A lot of people didn't like bodybuilding at that time, because I belonged to a club. It was a German club, German Turnverein, and we had all weightlifters there. If you were a bodybuilder and you did a curl that threw you out of the gym, we don't want none of these bodybuilders. They were drinking beer, smoking cigars. I tell you, it was a different time. And when we started the organization, it was bringing everybody together, and I always thought that, hey, you're nice. You treat people right. You get the right people. We all gather around and we'll form something. It all sounds good. Like today, you say, why don't all organizations get together? It doesn't work. It doesn't. Because there's so much ego going in. And the main thing is, when I started this organization, 25 years ago, I had my wife quit a $40,000 a year job, working for the city with benefits and all that. I said, look, I'm going to grow. I'm going to have to change everything in the NGA. So I says, I don't know. Do you want to do it? I says, it's going to be a lot of work, because we did everything with a 384, I don't know, an old computer, whatever. But we did it. And she says, I'll do it. And she quit her job. So, all right, wow. We started to make the changes. And then I got a call from, I don't want to mention their name. Well, anyway, this organization said, Andy, come with me. We're gonna, you know, give you a lot of publicity. You should be well-known, and this way we can build up the NGA. And I said, no. And another thing he said, well, we're going to have a meeting amongst all the promoters. I said, it won't work. So he said, well, we're going to have the meeting. So he had the meeting, came back to me, says, well, a lot of guys didn't want to go along with it because everyone had different ideas. Well, that's it. You can't. Too many cooks spoil the brew. It's one basic philosophy, so difficult to understand. You treat the athlete with respect, not as a number. That's the way I've been all my life. I don't like anybody to down talk to anybody. Even with the AAU, I used to see the way they treated athletes and ourselves. Hey, you over there, they treat you like cattle. And they do that today at the organizations. And unfortunately, I blame the athletes why things are not together. I am a leader, but if you can't get people who follow the ideology of no drugs, they would say, hey, let's build this organization up. My whole idea is I was hoping one day we can qualify to be into the Olympics. With the background, they can check my background, know who I am, how long I've been in it, what I've done for it. I think it would help, but it doesn't.
Yes.
There are 40 amateur, there's 40 natural, so-called natural organizations out there, 40. All of a sudden, they spring up. Everybody, any place, little corner. Guy runs three, four gyms. Oh, yeah, I'm the president of my organization. And he sells a membership card. Where does the membership card go? At least with our card in Florida, you go to 8 shows. Right away. That's just in Florida. You can go to Jersey. So many shows there. We got shows all over. So the card goes further. And then you have a contest where they have 1,600 athletes in one show. Be nameless. How the hell can you run a show? I don't care if it's for a week. How could you run a show when a person wants to enter that show and he'll never appear on stage because they only allow about 80 or 100 competitors on stage out of 1,600? People pay a lot of money for entry, for card money, travel, hotel, food, whatever. And they don't even see the show they're entering to be on the stage that evening. When I promote a show, I get about 125. I can do 150. because I want to see everybody on stage. That's what they pay
yes.
for.
Mm-hmm.
And when you run natural shows, you want people to train to reach their potentials. Don't be like what you see on TV. And again, being grotesque. At one time when we all started, I was in the magazines at 17. It was then that there was symmetry, balance. I was a gymnast. I used to do hand balancing, all that stuff. We had slimmer
mm-hmm.
bodies and that's what it was. It wasn't no 19-inch arms, unless you weighed 250 pounds or whatever. But it was a different look. It was physical culture when I was in. I used to pose for Art Students League in New York. I posed for sculptors and all that there, and artists. That was the physique at that time. So things have changed. And then I went into the Army at 18. It's a whole story, and I came out of the war. And anyway, went back into bodybuilding. I wanted to start my own magazine. It was going to be called The Apollon, believe it or not. And
mm-hmm.
I was just 20. And then I got together with a photographer and a writer and all that stuff. And they said, hey, we can do it without these kids. So they took our ideas and they ran with it, and they failed because they didn't have the knowledge and the contacts that we had. So always, my whole life, I was always looking to do something for the sport that God has been good to me. I won the Masters, Mr. America, in Madison Square Garden. You know, and I could have lost it if somebody judged me 5 minutes later in another show. So I never had an ego about this. I was lucky. I always felt that was good, but I was, you know, everybody's got the ego, think they're the best in the world. There's nobody the best in the world because it changes. If you get
mm-hmm.
your ego out, you become more reasonable. That bodybuilding is, I don't want to use a cult or a... It's a meeting of the minds that we all feel the same way about yourself. You do it for you, not for nobody else. That's the whole idea about this. And you use your mind and you use your body, and it helps you in your future because it gives you a lot of... you can look at something and know how to achieve it because
yes.
of dedication and the work it takes to achieve that. When you start doing that, you can apply it to almost anything, like I did with the NGA. When everybody says,
mm-hmm.
Andy, do it, you'll be out of business in 1 year. Well, it's 36 years in November. And we're growing. We picked up 10 new shows this year. So evidently, when people want to know about me, I said, go on a website. You'll know more about me than I know about you. It's an open book.
There you go.
You know, I'm upfront about everything, and I quit. And when I started this, I gave up. I was making a lot of money. I was training Al Pacino, Patrick Stewart, Cyndi Lauper, a lot of movie stars. I was making a lot of money. I
mm-hmm.
gave up all training. I haven't been training people for, 20-some odd years now. And I gave it up is because it took full time to accomplish what I'm doing. I'm on the phone with you. I'm on the phones every night, Saturday, Sunday. Is because that's what it takes. One organization
yeah.
told one of the promoters, hey, I work for a living. You can't have people calling me. Well, why the hell are you running an organization? Athletes don't see...
good question.
What?
That's a good question.
Running an organization. Give up your job and then put 100%. I wrote an article a few years back, maybe, I don't know, 5, 10 years ago. I said, look, if you want to run an organization, these are the principles you got to use. Number one, you got to give up your job. 100% of your time is got to be thinking about the organization, what you can do for the athletes and what you can do for the promoters. I didn't even get to that. We do more for promoters than most people, or for athletes than most people do, because it takes time. Technology now. Luckily, my wife is vice president. She's on that computer day and night.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run an organization no more on a piece of paper shifting it from one place to another. And we got that all done.
Mm-hmm.
So come back to me. He says, yeah, you do so much for your... And I asked him, what do you do for me? He says, well, they told me, well, we put you on the website and all that, but what you should do is get cards, go around to all the cars in the lots and put the contest cards on their windshields. And he says, wait a minute, what are you doing for me? So then he came back to me. He was an NGA promoter. He thought they were going to do a lot for him. I says, look, people wave a carrot, and all these promoters jump at it. That's because they don't have integrity.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have character. You got to believe in something. If you're a Christian or a Jew or whatever you are, Muslim, if you believe in it, that's what you believe in. But you don't keep switching because somebody says, come here, and what we'll do is we'll give you free breakfast or we'll give you coffee in the morning or whatever. People are bought too easily. There were followers and there's leaders. It's happened in your country, what you see right now. I understand politics very well. I listen to somebody, I know where they're coming from. I ask a question, and if you go, well, I don't want to hear well. I didn't ask you well. I wanted an answer. Nobody gives you an answer anymore. So they spin people, and people get confused. And they don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I speak simply, plain, everybody can understand what I'm saying. And that's what I've been doing my whole life. I always worry about people. I don't like anybody who takes advantage of anybody. That's the worst thing. I even had problems in the Army. I didn't like when sergeants talked to a private, and if he spoke to him in a demeaning manner, I would intervene, and I used to get in trouble. There's ways of getting your point across without being nasty.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can still make money and have principle. And if you're insecure, you want control of people, like you see with organizations. When you're secure, you don't need them. All you need is your message. That's simple. You like what I do? Join me. You don't like what I do? Find somebody else, and you'll flounder from place to place. Because you can't grow unless people come together.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, you're getting to understand, I don't want to get into too much philosophy, even when I wrote a book. I did a lot of interviews with millionaires, billionaires, and producers, directors. I got to understand people on different levels. If you saw Carlito's Way, I don't know if you ever
changed. Yes, I did.
Well, my name is in
yes,
there.
I did.
Mm-hmm. You saw it? How'd you see that?
Yes, sir.
Well, anyway, I trained him. I trained Penelope Ann Miller's girlfriend, John Leguizamo, the producer. I trained a lot of people, and I never took credit for it until one day I says, holy Christ, all these people I've trained, and people are celebrities, and I know guys are getting credit, and they've trained one person. Look all the people I've trained. So then I said to he's a producer, director, Marty Bregman. I said, Marty, at least try to give me a credit for me training. He says, no problem. You should have always asked me because we did a lot of shows. And he put me in with Patrick Stewart. Same thing. He's a good guy. I like Pac. So I had an experience dealing with people on different levels where trainers, don't forget, I certified trainers. Lou Ferrigno is certified by me as a trainer, and so is his sons. But getting away from that, when you start to train people that you say, you know him, they're no different than you and I. I used to feel sorry for most of the wealthy people I've trained. You say, what, for what reason? Simple. They all lack the insecurity about themselves. They worry about things. They're living in a house and you got a baker, a cook, and a secretary and all that. You can't walk around in your shorts. You don't have a life. You pay for your success.
Mm-hmm.
That's what. That's why people leave the drink and all that. Even when I was in the Army, I never drank. I got it for nothing. I never smoked. I got that for nothing. And you say, how come you don't? What, are you a goody boy? No. I feel good. Well, this will make you feel better. I said, I can't feel better than I'm feeling because I feel great. I don't need
it. There you go.
So this goes back when I was 18. And I was 18 in the Army, you know. So it's a lot of history. And I see what's going today. It makes me disgusted that I'm in a business that I have no respect for. Even, believe it or not, I don't like to get into this because it goes into personal training. And I'll give you an example. We got trainers that are training 15 years. They got a college education, all that. They'll go into a gym and apply for a job. And they'll say, this is chain operations. Well, you got to start from the beginning. You got to take our course.
Yes.
You got a course. I've been training for 15 years. I train people of all levels. Well, we have our own certification. Well, that's baloney because I ran the Jack Lane chains in the East in 1970. I used to hire people to become instructors. We call them instructors, not trainers.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we would train them on all the levels, even with their experience, even though they work out and they know all the equipment. They know. We had a principal of training at the Jack Lane's gym. You heard of Jack Lane?
Okay.
Jack Lane is what started all this back in the 30s. Anyway, he owned all the gyms in California, New York, up until the 70s. Well, anyway, we would train, instruct, hire them, and then meetings, and I put them on payrolls, and then I would assign them to certain clubs and so on and so forth, and they had to be accountable that when a client comes in, he paid a membership, and what he has to get is your time 100%. That's what he paid. And we had cards made out. We had training programs made out for a beginner, intermediate, advanced. And even though if somebody had, we had also a form that you would fill out if you have any medical problems or whatever, if we should see a doctor or whatever. I would call a doctor once in a while when I see a medical problem, and I would tell them what kind of a program I'm on. In fact, I'm going to jump a little bit. I did it with a well-known. He was not only a millionaire, he was a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't even walk for a long while. I got him doing jumping jacks after a while. I got him doing step-ups and all that. And I got him out of the chair. And I called his doctor. Is there anything else you want me to do? Is there anything? He says, no, he says, you're doing a great job. He says, no, I'm not there to your program. He says, you're doing great. So, you see, I used to call doctors for the respect that it's a medical situation. And when I started the internship way back, nobody thought it was a good idea because they all said the same thing. Why do I need to be certified? I've been in the training business 20 years and somebody's going to tell me I need to be certified? I said, yes,
yeah.
The medical profession is going to get into this business and they're going to say, how could you touch a person or prepare a program when you don't know his case history or what his medical problems are? You're going to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, what happened? That's what happened. The medical profession gets into it. Then they have stringent. That's why people get sued. Years ago, if you got hurt in the gym, nobody would say nothing. Here, go to the doctor, put a Band-Aid on, and you're all right. Today, they get a lawyer now.
Mm-hmm.
The world has changed.
A lot.
And you got to be ready for the change. People are not the same as they were years ago with a handshake. That doesn't go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody screws you and what they say, it's your fault. You allowed it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful.
Yes,
there's
you do.
So much, I don't know if you want to go on, but it's endless. And that's the reason why I tell a lot of my athletes, when they're certified, I says, now it's like getting a diploma. It could be ABC diploma, but it's an NGA diploma. It has anatomy, physiology, kinesiology, nutrition. It's written in a style that no one has ever done because I had all the information rewritten in a style that reads to a trainer. because I know mm-hmm. most people, they don't understand what they're reading. And I did
that.
That's
true.
Oh, well, don't forget, I interview people. So if you want to do research, that's what I do. I speak mm-hmm. to everyone who calls me, everyone. And I spend time with them, and I hope I don't bore them, but I give them enough information that maybe they can go away with something to realize what it is about being a person. So there's
Go ahead.
Well, you know, it goes on. So what I'm saying is that if you want to get people together, like I don't belong to these certification organizations. Because once you get involved with a group, what happens is they intervene, and before you know it, they got all your members and they have control and they take over. Or somebody who writes a magazine, they all say the same thing. Oh, yeah, we're going to help each other. Yeah, yeah. It's all bullshit. Everybody has agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And the agenda is in one of them. I would never promote a show. That's not my thing, because he says that people who promote shows make money. Well, that's BS. There's no money in bodybuilding. You do it because of the love of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I said, if you want to make money, you should have been a football player. If you're tall enough, you should be a basketball player. Now you got the kids on drugs in high schools, colleges.
Yes.
That's what we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I lectured in prison systems, Rikers Island. I got pictures of all that there. I brought the bodybuilders down there. We lectured about no drugs. I went to emotionally disturbed children. I gave time there. I went to colleges. I lectured on drugs, high schools. If the school allows me, sometimes schools don't want you to talk about that too much, because it opens up a can of worms probably where they are, because I know the kids in the schools over here are taking something. And I see them in the gym. They're getting blown up.
Yeah.
It's a tough fight. And you know something? We don't get sponsorship. The show I'm running now, it's only $11,600 in cash. It's not a lot of money mm-hmm. for a pro show.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to someone giving out $400,000 in prizes. Where the hell are they getting the money from? It's not from the show. We can't get the sponsors. The sponsors go to shows that are not tested.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, hey, you're doing a great job, boy. But if I gave you a dollar, they say, what do I get in return? And then I get mad. Don't give it to me. Make the check out to the athlete who wins. So you're not giving it to mm-hmm. me. How's that?
Yeah.
Andy.
I had a chance to meet you in Peoria at the Heart of America some years back. And you were one of the nicest people with how you don't really, as big a name as you are, you have a very humble demeanor. What is it about you that makes that happen for everybody? Because I know John Abraham just loves you to death.
Oh, you know John? Yeah, he's going to be at my show in November. Yeah. We got a lot of things going. What we do for promoters, believe me, we've been backwards. We just putting our schedule will be out in tomorrow's site. All the shows mm-hmm. will be listed. We also do for promoters, and you know something? You can lead somebody to water, but you can't make them drink.
Mm-hmm.
So much, and I get so mad, why aren't you taking advantage of the galleries we have for your pros? We give you a bio. We give you a picture. We have somebody doing this for us, because this takes up time. It takes about a half hour she says to do a bio. And one time it took us over an hour to do a bio. And we pay for it. We don't charge the athlete. Once you're a member, as a pro, we do that. So we got now a pro list for bikini, for figure, for whatever. And if you're a promoter, we did a gallery for you, too. You should be recognized. I want everybody to be recognized in my organization. When they say, who's the NGA, I am. And I got that on the top portion about the organization. Because I don't have the recognition. I want you to have the recognition to be part of something you believe in. Maybe I sound too idealistic. I don't know. Maybe I take after my mother. My mother was loved everybody. And she was easy to get along with. And I see cranky people, people with attitudes. You know, so maybe I come from a background of being very poor. If you saw my video and if you saw what my wife wrote, I never had a birthday present, Christmas present, nothing. I never had a picture when I was a baby. I don't even know if I was born. I never had a picture. You know, had no money, no nothing. I was poor. When people talk to me, I feel bad about the poor. In a way, I don't. I went and I shined shoes. I sold papers in a Jewish neighborhood because I was Italian. Put out the lights. I did a lot of stuff to make a couple of cents. When I was in the Army, I was getting $60 a month. I sold another home, $54. I kept $6. And that's what I used to do. I don't need anything. When you feel good about yourself, you don't need anything. That's the problem with people. They got to look on the inner self. And when I wrote a book, it was basically about that too. You don't know yourself. You got to be honest with yourself. You're not honest with yourself. How can you be honest with other people?
That's true.
By the way, everything I'm saying to you, I'm not rehearsing because I can't read off anything because it's not the way I think. I just, you know what I'm saying? I don't make notes.
That's fine. You don't need notes. You're doing fine. Because the thing is, like, you're a walking history, and everything you're saying is what natural body building needs to hear, so they understand that this is not new. And just because you have a lot of young people competing now, they think, this is a new splash in the pan. It's not.
It's not?
Yeah, natural bodybuilding has been around for a long time.
It's been around a long, long time. All of us, all my friends, all used to work out together when I was in junior high school or whatever. From the time it was 12 o'clock for lunch, we'd jump out, I'd go on a high bar, do dips and chins, flybacks, giants, and then we used to do hand balancing. That's what we did. And then in the afternoon, after school, I used to train until 3 o'clock, go home and eat. And we said, meet in the park. I play handball, basketball. But I used to work out. I was a dipper and chinner. I used to do two-figured one-hand chins at one time. And we did a lot of things. We were pretty good. And if you saw my site, I trained at a gym where John Davis, the Olympic lifter in 1936 or 38, he won the Olympics. He was a black guy. John Davis. He cleaned and jerked, I think, was 4-something. That was a lot of weight at that time. And we trained there. It was a garage with a belly stove. And when I used to come in the afternoon, I used to make the belly stove because your hands would stick to the bar because it was all iron. It was all iron, wooden racks. And they give me doing a quarter squat. I weighed 159 pounds, and it's a lot of weight to get off the rack. And no belts, no nothing. I tell you, we just had good strength. We trained hard. We didn't have no rugs on floors, no air conditioning, none of that stuff. Or trained at the YMCA in the basements with rusted weights. Let me tell you something. These guys don't even know what the hell it is to train this way. But it's like seeing a Rocky movie. what he did is no different. It was worse than what we did.
Mm-hmm.
I had. But that's what we did. Work out in the winter time, but you show you off in the snow, doing dips and chins. Oh,
wow.
They used to say, you're going to catch cold. I said, I never catch cold. And I never did. I don't get cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah. When I look back, and I'm looking back, and I says, holy Christ. Look where the hell I came from.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, with Arnold and all, with all the letters I got, he says, Arnold used to say, hope I look like you when I get your age. Well, I'm in better shape now, I think. And I go to the gym 3-4 days a week. I'm always in shape, not in contest shape. Nah, I'm Italian. I eat Italian food, but I watch. I still look in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. You got to be a product of what you're selling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I said, when we met, your passion is very apparent, and I was just, you know, I would have never known. You probably don't remember meeting me because you meet so many people, but we were actually at the Host Hotel at the Heart of America, and you were basically just getting breakfast, and I was helping you get some food. I think I was setting up one of the waffles for you. And we were going to sit down, and you were telling me about...
Yeah, somebody did make the... I remember, because I wasn't supposed to make the waffles.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
My... That's the one.
It was a couple of years ago, and I was just so impressed with your knowledge of natural bodybuilding, because at the time, it was still relatively new to me. Because, you know, all I knew was the NPC and the IFBB, and I really didn't want any part of that. So when you were telling me everything about natural bodybuilding, I was really intrigued about it because that's where my heart really was.
But you see, back in those days, when I'm talking about back in the 60s and all that, we had mixes of all guys training in our gym. They used to take Diana Ball at that time. And I said, what the hell are you taking that stuff? He says, he says, I go to one doctor, I get a prescription. I says, one day you're going to just drop dead and die. And sure enough, he died before a contest. And I remember people who went off drugs, and then it affected their immune system. Immune system goes, they got pneumonia and they died. I mean, a lot of guys trained in my gym, they were on drugs, but there were ones who were natural in my gym. But it wasn't the drug you see today. The drugs that the bodybuilders in the 60s and 70s, there's no comparison to what they're doing today with blood transfusion, insulins, and injections into their whatever, changing the blood transfusions and all that shit. I can't believe it. And you look at the stomachs and taking human growth hormones, stomachs are growing. How long was... go ahead. No, I'll let them. That's all right. No, there's so much. You know, I don't remember everything, you know, moment by moment, but an overview of the way I'm speaking is I remember. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It goes even further than that. It goes further to the other side that I don't even mention because there will be controversy, and I don't want... Not for any reason. It doesn't prove anything. All it does is makes another story. And I'm not here to make a story. Here to explain to people what it is to be a natural bodybuilder. You live a long time. It is the... You know what it does? Like a lot of people, I remember when I was 25, guy says, boy, you're over the hill, 25. Not much longer. That guy's probably dead many years ago. So you see,
right?
People are the negative. When I went to Mr. America, I remember the owner of the Jack Lanes. He said, hey, Andy, if I trained, I'd beat you so easy. I says, if you trained and I stopped training, I'd look better than you. So I talk that way. When somebody wants to be negative about something. I don't go for that. I don't people. And I don't like that to be happening. You don't like the way I am? Fine. I don't do this for you. I do it for me. And that's what people got to understand. Don't try to emulate other people. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own problems. They carry within themselves their own problems, and you'll never know it. There's an inner self. I don't want to get into philosophies and in depth about things, but it's true. The human is very, very complex. You never know them. You never know people. And I keep learning. I learn. I got affected by a lot of people I trusted, because not that I'm a trusting God. Give everybody a fair share. And when they do something wrong, that's disrespect. And disrespect means you're finished with me. Because sometimes you guys used to say, Andy, you're soft-spoken. Everybody bullshits you. I said, well, that's their misfortune. When they do that, they made the biggest mistake of their life. I'm not vocal like you are, but I don't forget. Yeah, there's a lot of things. A lot of things that can go on, even when we wrote a book and all that stuff. I never knew I can talk about so many things, you know, but there's so many things that even you don't know yet, and I don't bring up even about organizations and all that, because I lost respect for a lot of people. All these people who run organizations now, a lot of them were from the NGA.
Oh, wow.
They bought an organization. And then I got all their letters, you know, you're the greatest, you're this, we love you, and all. It's all bullshit. People can say what they want, but they got to prove it.
Yes. Practice what you preach.
Got to prove it. Talking is cheap. You can say you love me now, 5 minutes later say, he's full of bullshit, Andy. And that's it. So, I understand the way people are, and that's the reason why I can handle running an organization. It takes a lot of understanding of human nature. And nobody, if everybody was like me, I'd be on the outside and they'd be in my place. Or they'll be in your place. There are leaders, there's followers.
Yes.
This country is 42% of followers toward one person. I can rattle off figures. No matter what you say or what you do, they're for the one person. Bad, good, or indifference. And that's what happens here, too. If bodybuilders don't pull together, I said this, if you're an NGA member, we love you to compete in our shows. Otherwise, we wouldn't have shows. But don't enter. It's not tested. And then people say, oh, polygraph doesn't work. Oh, you got a urine test, the guys. Well, urine tests sure as hell don't work because it don't prove you're 7 years drug-free. You could have been on drugs your whole life and passed a drug test 3 months after you got off or whatever. You still have the benefit of all the drugs. It takes at least 5 years to be really a natural, to go back to being natural. Oh, I can beat the polygraph. I can beat this. Well, come up with something different that we can do, that we can afford. I got the answer. Hair analysis.
Yeah.
Can't afford, unless somebody says, hey, I'm willing to put up all the money for hair analysis. Great. Whatever you want to do is fine with me. What the hell do you think? We make a lot of money on it. Oh, then I get mad. You see, that's when my Italian comes up. You know, people talk, but they don't want to do anything. I got an idea. Well, if you got an idea, why don't you do it? And that'd be great. Well, I don't have the time. Well, everybody's got ideas, but nobody does nothing to support something. but yet you go out and volunteer, running for cancer, running for thyroid, running for your brain, running for whatever it's running for. Right? People do it.
Yes, sir.
If you believe in something, then do something about it. Go and lecture like I did. Nobody lectures. I haven't seen somebody who's head of any organization do the things that I try to do and do. And we went to the prison systems a lot. Well, we didn't go where murderers, where the younger kids were.
Yeah.
Chance coming out. And then I sold my courses also to the prison systems. I didn't tell you that. In Pennsylvania, I think it was. Right, I still got their check there. They bought all my courses. They made a year course out of it. And they certified the prisoners.
Wow.
A lot of things. It goes on and on and on and on. But I would have been bigger if I didn't get involved with somebody. That's why when you said, why don't you organize, you know, bodybuilders? Oh, yeah. Why don't you all go together? I say to myself, they don't know what it's all about. Why should a guy who's running three shows want to join the NGA? Where's going to be your standards and your bylaws that represents everything when you have your own ideals? And what are you doing for the people?
Yes.
What are you truly trying to do? It takes your time. Are you willing to give up all your time? If you are, I commend you. If you're not, you're just part of the problem. That's what,
yes.
We got 40, I think there's 40 organizations, 50 or something like that.
Close to it, yes, sir.
Huh?
I said close to it, yes, sir.
Is it close to it?
It's close to 50.
Oh, then it was a good guess.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I don't know how we survived. I got to reach more corners. I got to get a map. I got to find out where I'm going next. I get a map, I put a pincushion. I got to go there. When I think about doing something, it comes true. But you work at it. It's like you will yourself to have it come true, or you're going to be there. Like Canada. You know, we got Canada. I think that's going to be a big step for us. I will know November 7th if it goes over the way I think it will, because in 2016, it's supposed to be a very big NGA show if this person comes through what he says. But so far, he's proven himself. So I'm going to see. I may go November 7th because I got my show the following week, but I may go just for 2 days, which I can do. And see if it works. If that works, we'll have Canada. And then my next step is we got Marco from the IBBN. He's the president of the Italian organization. He's with us. So we want to try to get into Europe, like in Germany, Czechoslovakia, whatever. That would be a big goal. Well, I was thinking, it'll come. Everything will come. I meet one person, I'll meet another, 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 and before you know it, I get to the right person.
Now, speaking of, could you please tell me, with the NGA, how many shows that you have currently?
Between pro shows and amateur shows?
Yes, sir.
We got 91.
Nationwide?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
We're doing all right. I'm going to try to hit 100 by next year. Because I want every amateur show one day to be a pro show, pro-am. So this way, see, I think for the promoter. The whole idea is, you go to, say you want to buy a pair of shoes. You don't go into some place that sells fountain pens. They say, we sell fountain pens, not sneakers. Go to Walmart. They have sneakers and shoes and pens, pencils. They have everything you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a promoter has to be. If you came to me, I said, I'd like to enter your show. Do you have jumping jacks? I said, why? Well, I'd like to compete if you have jumping jacks. Yes, we do. I'll have that put on my schedule. Whatever you want, we're going to have. So if a promoter has everything and has a pro show and a qualifier, he's complete.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to come into my pro show, they have to qualify in their shows. So we're letting the promoters qualify people so there's a place for them to go. And they will have a pro show. It's simple. And you don't have to have a lot of money. I'm letting things out of it. But anyway, that's the way it'll be one day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming close.
Yes, sir. Well, with 91 shows, yeah, you can do it.
Well, it took me a while. I've always thought about these things, and people say, that's stupid. That's not logical. It is logical, because you don't think the way I think. That's why
mm-hmm.
it's logical. Otherwise, you'd be like me. Anyway, I hope I didn't bore you with all this stuff.
No, sir. No, sir. I'd like to have you on again,
so we
can talk more about the NGA as a whole. And because you know, I've been blessed to meet Jonathan Agin, John Abraham.
You see what he's
going? Jason Kyman. Yes, sir.
Jonathan Agin is a great, great guy. He's ambitious,
mm-hmm.
smart. And you know what he's doing? He's doing the bikini calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know?
Yes, sir. I got the chance to talk with Jennifer, and she was thanking him on social media about that because she was really thankful that, you know, he'd even thought to do that.
Well, he's going to do a lot of things. We're backing him up in everything he does. We want people who are inspirational, people who think out of the box. If I had more guys like him, for Christ's sake, I'd have hundreds of shows. But you see, that those are one of a kind. You know, I don't know how he does it with his business, and he's really trying to get together with all the promoters up in that area and form a little coalition of NGA shows, and we'll help.
He's doing it.
Yep.
He's doing it. Yes, sir. I got a chance. Talk to Jason Kyman, and
Jason,
he said
yes.
that they're going to come up with something. That's for sure.
And I'm going to add somebody to them too. I'm trying to get people to be added to that coalition. You
mm-hmm.
see, all these things they come to me, and I speak to Jonathan, and I endorse it because I can see it can work and how it can work and how we can contribute to it. By all the work we do. But the only thing is they got to get information to us for our Facebook, for we have a newsletter that goes out. People are not taking advantage of it. How can you spread it? Nobody talks about what they do. You can't keep it in-house. We want to go outside of our circle, which we're reaching. When I came up with the galleries, we reached outside of our circle.
Mm-hmm.
That was planned.
You've challenged me, so I'll be more active in sharing your newsletter because I'm actually one of the people that gets it as well.
Okay. You got something to write? Send it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me get your full name. Hold on a second.
Andy, I'll call after the show, and I'll give you all that information.
What time is the show end?
We're just about done right now, so in about maybe 2 minutes.
Do I ever get a tape of that? I always like to know what the hell I said. I don't even know half of the things I say.
Yes, sir. I'll send you the link.
You send me the link?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me know how it did. Was it all right?
Oh, you did wonderful, sir. And I'd like to have you on again, and we'll talk about the NGA itself. And it sounds like you got a nice thing set in the future, nice plan for how this is going. And I'm really impressed with the amount of shows that the NGA has, because this is kind of underground. It's like you said, it's not really said that much. I'd like to get a list. Well, I'll talk to you after the show, and we'll swap some information, because I'm really impressed by this.
All you have to do is go online tomorrow. It should be up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the amateur list, and you'll
mm-hmm.
see the pro list. If you combine the two lists, it comes out to 91.
Yes, sir. No, I believe it. But I'm just really impressed that it's that many.
It took a while to do because we were hitting standstills with the organizations, buying organizations. Now they're looking at us, and I don't think they want us to survive. Is because when you're nobody, nobody talks about you. As soon as you become something, they say, uh-oh, let's see what we can do to knock him down. That's human nature.
Yes.
But I don't respond to anybody. You know why? Because when you do, you give them acknowledgement and you give them a voice. They can speak for themselves. I don't put nothing in writing.
There you go. Well, Andy, thank you so much tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm going to finish up the show, but I'll be calling you afterwards. And so you can get the information, I can get the information from you, because I definitely want to talk to you again about the NGA. I know the heart of America, it's always been well-founded in the Midwest region. And also with what Jason and John are doing, Mr. Agnes and Mr. Kyman, I know that it's the NGA is represented well in this area. And if I'm not mistaken, Robert Green is wanting to do something again. So that would be a big plus
Robert,
as well.
Robert used to be one of my promoters.
Yes.
I'm surprised he went out of it, but he had a lot of situations where he couldn't do it. So that was years ago. But you really got to put your foot in. You can't pull it out. Don't do it. If you have any hesitancy at all, don't do it, because when your show goes down, it's not you. The NGA shows went down.
Mm-hmm.
We're affected by it as much as you are. You know, you just don't want to have a number. Then it goes down and says, these guys pull out, you know, don't trust the NGA. You can't give people something to say about you. It's bad enough if you don't do anything wrong, they'll talk about you, let alone do something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
See how I use things? I can reverse anything around. Anyway, all right, call me back.
Yes, sir. I'll Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, thanks again, Andy. Thanks so much.
Okay. You be good. Bye. Bye.
You be too. God bless you.
Bye.
Talk to you later. He hung up.